Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 11th, 2011, episode 247, sponsored today by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
Today is to tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
It's like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day. And it's beautiful. Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day.
Whoa. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. Good morning, Jamie.
What up? Boop, boop. It's Tuesday. Yay.
Tuesday. Hold on one second. I got to sneeze.
Oh, no. Okay, I'll cover for you.
Okay, I'm back.
See, if you ever think you have to
hit
sneeze
the sneeze
and
button.
You say, oh, did you actually sneeze? Because if I say, I've got to sneeze, then I never sneeze.
No, I did sneeze. And I did the sneeze button because I knew you really didn't want to hear me sneeze. So, hey, I got a question for you.
Okay.
So, we know about Georgina Bloomberg, daughter of a billionaire who rides jumpers. And we've had her on the shows here numerous times. And then we heard from Jessica Springsteen last week, you know, daughter of famous rocker, probably almost a billionaire. Did you know that Bill Gates' 15-year-old daughter is on the junior circuit and is also a jumper?
I did not know that.
I didn't know it either, and the only reason I found out about it was he just rented a little place, and he's going to be slumming it for the winter. The Gates family is going to be down there, and they're going to be, you know, they're going to have to settle for a 7,300-square-foot, 8-bedroom house, an exclusive South Shore enclave, near Wellington, or in Wellington, near the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center, and he rented that for a mere $600,000 for the winter.
Wow. How much did he rent it for?
$600,000, and they're going to be there from December through May. So that's about $150,000 a month, a little more than my rent. And but it's only a 7,300-square-foot house. But it does have a horse training area, a barn, and 5 acres. And it's within walking distance of the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center, home of the Winter Festival.
What if you were like a realtor or you were the homeowner and somebody contacts you from his people and says that Bill Gates would like to come and look at your facility for possibly renting it out for his 15-year-old daughter? Would you sleep the night before? Oh, my God, what do we have to do to this place to make it look a little bit better? We've got to get it.
And how much are we raising the rent?
Yeah.
It was $5,000 a month. Now it's $125,000 a month.
Yeah, raise that puppy up.
Now,
that's
he's going
cool.
to be in good company because apparently Bill sent his people to look all over Wellington in September to find a place. And they liked this particular house because it was in a secure neighborhood with a guarded access road and only 20 or so neighbors. One of them is Michael Bloomberg, or Georgina Bloomberg apparently is the one that lives there, while she's down there for all the Welly World activities in the winter. So the good billionaire neighborhood. They all hang out.
Yeah. Good place to rob.
Oh, I bet you there'll be a little bit of security there, a little bit. Yeah. I forget what his house is in Washington. It's something like 25,000 square feet. It's huge. I mean, it's enormous. So this is, as I said, they'll be slumming it down there. He's now worth, by the way, about $59
billion. That's it?
At this point, that's it. Well, he's been giving a lot of it away to his charities. He's been doing a terrific amount of charity work, so they have been giving billions away to the charities through their foundation, doing a lot of work with that. So anyway, we just wanted to keep you caught up on the lives of the wealthy children of the world, all who seem to be in jumping. None of them seem to be in eventing. They all seem to be jumpers.
There's only one famous person that I've ever seen at an event, and I'm going to screw it up here. I'll figure out who that was, because clearly it's super famous. I can't even remember who it was. But it was their child. And I'll tell you that. We'll go to Jennifer, and then I'll come back, and I'll tell you who
it
was.
Okay.
On today's Pfizer Tuesday edition, we open with a collegiate report from Steve Maxwell. He's here again. About once a month he stops by. Find out how the show season is starting out for all of the colleges around the country who offer equestrian programs. I think there's going to be some surprises there. All-Tech National Horse Show Trivia is here again today. So, A, we will be announcing the winner of last week's pair of tickets. And, B, we will be coming up with another trivia question. So stay tuned and see if you get to win a pair of tickets to the All-Tech National Horse Show happening here in Kentucky this fall. And last but not least, Horse and Country TV will be rounding out the show. She's going to have some great stories and headlines and some really awesome videos happening over there at Horse and Country TV. So stay tuned.
Thank you, Jennifer.
I thought of it.
Sorry, who was it?
It's Ed Harris. Ed Harris was in the movie Stepmom, A Beautiful Mind. He was also in A History of Violence. He was the coach in Radio. He's been in a million different movies. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Wasn't he on a TV show, too? I'm trying to think which TV show.
He was in Apollo 13. He was in Apollo 13. He's like, you know, he's one of the main guys. Ed Harris. Google Ed Harris.
Oh, he was in A Beautiful Mind, too, if I remember right.
Yeah.
With Russell Crowe. Yeah.
Exactly. So Ed Harris and his wife, of course you have. Have you seen the movie Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner?
No, did not see it. Was it a baseball movie?
Oh, my God. It's like the greatest baseball movie of all time. Well, Kevin Costner's wife in that movie is Ed Harris's wife in real life. And so it was like this celebrity couple at the Coconino Horse Trials, and everybody's like, oh, my God, this is like really famous people. What are their names? And I'm like, that's Ed Harris. And the lady from the Kevin Costner movie, Field of Dreams. It's terrible. So when you think Bill Gates, Georgina Bloomberg, Bruce Springsteen, jumper horses comes to mind. When you think the lady from Field of Dreams, think eventing.
There you go. That's in the same league. Of course, there's Sarah Phillips. You know, she's a royal. So there's a famous eventer in England.
Oh, yay. See, we have famous people.
Yeah. Just not a lot of them. Most of them are just schmucks like us. All right, it's my Daily Winnie goes to, well, first of all, a happy Thanksgiving to Canada yesterday. It was their Thanksgiving yesterday. So we forgot to mention that, so happy Thanksgiving. And I wanted to mention that I was looking at the numbers yesterday, and officially on Horses in the Morning and a couple of the other shows, Australia has overtaken Canada for the second largest listening base of the show. So we got United States first at Horses in the Morning, Australia second, Canada third, and the UK fourth. So I was really surprised that Australia has overtaken Canada on several of the shows.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, it's not awesome for... Come on, Canada, wake up, get it together, tell your friends. Australia, we're super excited to have you.
Well, there was a story. Have you been following that story out of Australia? with all the horses that are dying.
God, it's just heartbreaking, and nobody really knows why. But there's an update. So if you don't know, it's in Kooralbyn, would you think, in Queensland. There's been horses that have been dying, and, you know, there was that big Hendra virus over in Australia, and there's been all sorts of different tests that they've done on some horses, all horses that are at the same facility. They were thinking, you know, I mean, any kind of thing you can imagine with, you know, testing dead animals in the area for rabies. They were investigating the Hendra virus. They were doing necropsies on all these horses. 21 horses now have died on the same property. Well, yesterday they came out with an update on the story. Reports of a nighttime visitor to the horses on the Queensland property have heightened fears the animals may have been poisoned. Somebody may be going to this facility and poisoning the horses that are on the property.
Wow, that's terrible.
Oh, absolutely horrible. And you just know that if that's the actual case, if that's what's going on, there is a special place in hell for a person who would poison somebody's horse. I mean, there's like a VIP section straight downstairs. So there you go.
I don't know if you saw the pictures. They were very disturbing. I saw some pictures from that farm yesterday. It's one farm and a ranch or whatever they call them in Australia. Sorry to all our Australian listeners. For us, number one, we are always going to butcher your name. And please forgive us. You must be a very forgiving people because you still listen. And we don't know whether you call them farms or ranches. But so on the ranch down there, I saw a picture. And there's all these guys in hazmat suits. And the one picture had a hazmat suit guy in the front four of the picture, and in the back you could see the dead horses lying in the field. Because apparently they had not removed them yet, because they still don't know what's causing it. I know they thought that there might have been some plant that was poisoning them at one point. There's just a whole lot of them. There's new ones every day. I don't know how many horses. Did it say how many horses are on this property?
It doesn't say how many horses are on the property, but they have four. There's only four surviving horses. So I guess to do the math, that would be 25. Duh. One of the four is very sick. So they've moved all of the four that are remaining to a different property because obviously if somebody's coming in at night, the biosecurity officers are there. It's just, I mean, they've swept down on this place. Can you imagine if it's just somebody random when all that money, all the loss that those people have suffered? Oh, terrible.
Well, I have an update, too, that's not very good. A little later here, we'll talk about those New York horses that went missing after the flood. I have an update on that we can talk about in a bit, too. But first, it's time for your game.
I have a Winnie. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. This daily Winnie goes out to some neighbors, some neighbor friends. They're actually my dog's best friends. They live across the back of the property and down one. And they are two of the stinking cutest donkeys that you have ever seen. And Boomer, our dog, loves to break out of the back gate and run down to their property, and he just lays down outside their fence, staring at them. And the donkeys, like, run up and down with him, and they play, and they butt heads, and it's just very, very entertaining to watch. However, last night, at about 3 a.m., the donkeys started going crazy, to the point where I'm inside my house. Now, we do have the windows open and the screens there because it's beautiful at night. And so I hear this god-awful noise. And I hear the donkeys, and they're just, just god-awful, horrible, so loud. It's reverberating in my house. It is upsetting the dogs. It wakes me up. So what do? I'm like, well, let me go see what's going on. So I walk outside, and I just barely go out my back door, and I hear the noise. I heard the noise of about 400 coyotes in my, it sounded like
oh, really?
In my backyard. holy cow, it was like the entire coyote population in the West Valley of Phoenix had congregated outside my gate. And these donkeys were not happy about it. They were so mad because you know donkeys will go after a coyote. I mean, if you have a big field of thoroughbreds or something and there's a coyote population, you put a donkey out there with them and they'll keep the coyotes out of your property. These donkeys were pissed. They did not like all these coyotes being around, and they were making a total noise to keep them off their property. I do know that the people with the donkeys have a whole bunch of chickens. So I wonder if there was, like, some coyotes trying to steal some chickens or something. I don't know, but they get my daily whinny because they were doing their best to protect our neighborhood.
Jeez, I just got chills hearing you tell that story.
Oh, my God. You should have been there at 3 in the morning when I walked outside in my almost my birthday suit. And I'm like, ah! I think I'm not there in my backyard.
You ran back inside, didn't you?
Heck yeah, I did. I ran back inside, closed the door, and dove under the covers. You know, you're like, I am not one of those people when you watch the scary movies and they hear a noise in the other room and they get up and they cautiously tiptoe, you know, with a baseball bat.
Tiptoe.
No, that's not me. I just pull the covers over my head and wait to get murdered.
That's what Jennifer and I do when we've had, in the farmhouses we lived in, on occasion we've woken up in the night to have it having a bat flying over our heads in our bedroom. And our solution always has been climb under the covers and wait for it to leave. That's been our solution.
Yeah, that's me. If I could get under the bed, you know, it's like it's to the point now where if there was a bat in my room, I would actually take my dog and throw my dog at the bat and be like, sacrifice yourself.
Hey, a couple of announcements here. A couple of announcements. First is, don't forget, I just did this morning myself. If you haven't DVR'd Letterman tonight, don't forget to put that on your DVR. Because our friend Aaron, the Grizzly Wrangler, is going to be on tonight with Tonk, her big Percheron horse. So they are scheduled to be on with Matthew Broderick. So she's in good company tonight.
Nice.
Definitely take that. Remember the 8-year-old boy she saved, California boy? His father spoke out for the first time on Swan Mountain Outfitters Facebook page. And he said, my name is Greg Turner. My son, Ian, is the unnamed 8-year-old that Aaron saved. Aaron was just awesome. I can't say enough good things about her. Even aside from her chasing down Ian and Scout, you could not do better by having Aaron as your guide. Although, could someone tell Scout not to be chasing bears? Thank you again, Aaron. You are awesome. Someone was watching out for us all that day. So that was the first words out of the parents of the little boy, Ian, who was saved that day. So I'm sure he'll be watching Letterman tonight, too.
I kind of thought that Scout didn't chase the bear. The bear kind of chased Scout.
Scout, yes. Yes, and apparently Tonk is going to get his debut in New York City because he has now finished his ride on his air-conditioned comfy van. Apparently, Aaron went along with him on his drive all the way across the country to be in New York City today for the taping of David Letterman. And she's supposed to have a couple of spots. So I can't wait. Maybe we'll have some sound file tomorrow from that as well.
Well, I hope so, because when they said that Buck was going to be on Letterman, I waited, kind of stayed up really late that night to watch it. I mean, it's not as late here on the West Coast, but I stayed up really late to watch it. And then, lo and behold, Buck got bumped. He got bumped from Letterman. Although, I can imagine that they're not going to bump somebody when they've shipped their horse across the country, right?
Yeah, they just paid $5,000 to have the horse shipped in. I don't think they're bumping them. And I don't know. I wonder where they're keeping them in New York City. That's a good question, too.
Well, we'll have to get her back on. After all of this, we'll have to get her back on and write that question down. And
definitely. We're going to have to get her back on. See if we can get her back next week and have her talk about her experience. That'll be fun. That'll be a good time. Also, it is Quarter Horse Congress time. This is the 45th year of the Quarter Horse Congress, about 3 hours up the road from us. They have 17,000 horse show entries this year. And they said that with late entries, they could pass 18,000 and break a record for their 45th year. The only thing that is stopping them is that the fairgrounds there at Columbus is only about 8,500 acres. It's huge, and they just have run out of room. And now they're looking at building a big stadium there. One of their goals is to build a big stadium so that they have a Ford four-show ring. They have 8,500 registered American Quarter Horses during the three-week show, and it attracts more than 650,000 people and brings in $110 million to the Columbus area during that 3 weeks. And I think Jennifer and I went there last year, and there were about 250,000 people there that day.
Oh, my God.
It was packed. And, Janie, you have never seen so many horse trailers lined up, and they all have the big fancy horse trailers with the campers in them, and they all stay in the campers, and they're lined up for what seems like a mile. Just
now, Glenn,
tons of these big fancy rigs.
I actually have seen that because I have been to Quarter Horse Congress.
Oh, so you have seen it.
I went there because I went to, you talk about the trailers lining up. It is the greatest place to go and buy anything that you've been needing. If there's a big purchase you want to make, go to Quarter Horse Congress because they had 10,000 horse trailers there for sale. So I got to walk around and look and look and look, and I picked out the horse trailer I wanted, and I bought it from Quarter Horse Congress. Is that right? That is true. I sold it
Wow. Now.
I don't have it anymore.
But you're the first one I've met. You know, they have 1,000 new horse trailers there you can look at. If you're a horse trailer shopping, that's the place to go. But I never met anybody who actually bought one there.
I did. I actually bought one, and I picked it out, and they didn't even have one on the property. And they brought it in from, I guess, two states over the next day for me. So it is a great place to shop.
And was that the? And also, I wanted to mention that the Western Radio Show, which is now out for this week, they had the organizer of Quarter Horse Congress on, and one of the competitors that is competing there, she's doing reining for the first time. So you want to check out the Western Radio Show too, because he talks all about the logistics and the things that happen at Quarter Horse Congress. You know, we talk about this, and we talk about it every year because it is one of the largest quarter horse shows in the country, and of course, the AQHA is the largest association of all the associations. They have almost 700,000 members.
Wow.
So quarter horses are big here in the United States, that's for sure.
Well, I do want to say, too, about the AQHA, they are geniuses as far as marketing goes. Because I had I bought a yearling at a sale, and she was half quarter horse, half thoroughbred. And she was this waify-looking, thoroughbred-y-looking horse. Of course, she grew into, like, this giant quarter horse. But she was this little waify-looking, thoroughbred-y thing, and so I bought her at the auction. Well, to get her registration papers, you have to join the AQHA. So if you have a quarter horse ever, you are a member of the AQHA. So when they say those member numbers, they're just brilliant. Because, like, just to own a thoroughbred, you don't have to be a member of the jockey club. But to own a quarter horse, you have to be a member of the AQHA. So they're just geniuses when it comes to making money like that.
Yes, and they are money-making machines. They do very well. I wanted to mention, too, that you can watch some of the competition live if you're into watching Western Pleasure with their heads down between their knees and going around at the slowest lope you've ever seen in your life. It's OQHA.com, and you can watch live there every day. Now, they have other stuff, too. I was just being sarcastic.
What's the quickest way to take a nap?
I must say, the day we went last year, we picked the wrong day to go because it was in-hand classes at Quarter Horse Congress. And if you've ever seen the in-hand quarter horse cut classes, now I've been told by our listeners that this is starting to change, thank God, because they were the fattest damn horses you've ever seen. They could barely walk, let alone trot, when the little tiny trot they had them do. But I have heard that they're trying to change that and get the horses slimmed up a bit, which is good because they were all bordering on founder and Cushing's disease. It was just bad. But thankfully, I hear they're trying to fix that up a little bit. Hey, and then we talked about the Pan Am Games going on. Well, there's a little issue going on down in the Pacific right now, heading right toward the Pan Am Games, where that's going to happen in Guadalajara, Mexico, which is a little bit in from the coast there in Mexico. And that is a hurricane, Category 3, with winds right now at 125 miles an hour, due to hit the coast today and be up over Guadalajara by tomorrow. Well, what's happening today is the horses are starting to fly in for dressage today. And I just read on Paragon's page, Heather Blitz's horse, that he just posted on Facebook that he's on the plane and is headed there. And then the riders are all supposed to head out at noontime together on a plane down to Guadalajara. So they're hoping they can get in before the hurricane hits, and hoping, you know, one of the things about Mexico is the infrastructure is not quite as solid as it is here in the United States. So they're hoping that there isn't too much damage done and they can still continue with the Pan Am Games. Because, of course, Pan Am Games is not just horses. It's all athletes that would be in the Summer Olympics. So we're hoping that they can still get that in. And that Hurricane Jova, how do you say that, by the way?
I think it's Jova.
Yes,
is it Jova?
It's Jova. You're exactly right.
Okay. Hurricane Jova is going to make some mess down there.
Unless you're down there and then it's Hurricane, then they probably call it Hurricane Jova. Jova.
Oh, Jova.
Jova.
That's true. Hey, we haven't even, look at that. It's almost time for our first guest already, and we basically have talked about nothing so far. So there you go.
I think we touched on many interesting things, but I do need to go ahead and do our daily sponsor, which is Pfizer, and we really appreciate them being a part of today's show. And I'm going to try to get through this because, again, Pfizer's ads can be a little challenging. So Glenn gave it to me. Pfizer Animal Health recommends all horse owners ensure their horse is properly vaccinated. Pfizer Animal Health equine vaccines are backed by an equine immunization support guarantee. Treatment costs up to $5,000 if a horse properly vaccinated by a veterinarian with one Pfizer Animal Health vaccine will support reasonable diagnostics and of its antigen contracts. Glenn, I don't think this commercial's right. It doesn't make any sense. I think you messed up.
We lost Glenn.
I'm here. I'm just looking at it.
Go ahead, keep reading it. There's a paragraph.
There must be a sentence missing.
Yeah, there must be a sentence missing in this. How about we do the commercial later after I fix it? We'll come back to the commercial.
Okay. Go ahead
we'll see
and
if
we'll,
I can
we'll...
fix the commercial.
Yeah, that would
I'll
be
work
good.
On that.
Hey,
in the
have
meantime.
You seen the... Have you seen the picture of the lab that's going around on Facebook? It's a little it's a picture of a yellow lab, and it's the cutest, sweetest yellow lab, and then the black lab, and then the chocolate lab. I'm going to go ahead and post this picture on our Facebook page so everybody can see the picture of the labs, because this is it just describes the lab breed incredibly well. So I'm going to go ahead and post that on Facebook in a second. You carry on. Give us a news story.
Well, I was going to say that have you seen, remember last year for the Kentucky Derby that, and you'll probably remember the names better than I do, that one of the riders was pulled off right before the Kentucky Derby, like the day before, and they did a substitute?
Yeah, he got hurt. He got kicked or something.
Well, I'm not sure that was the case. Wasn't this one they just wanted to switch out the rider and get a different rider? Wasn't that...
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, Kentucky actually has changed the rules about that, and now they'll be requiring owners who replace a jockey named to ride their horse after entries are finalized to pay the replaced jockey the same amount earned as the replacement rider. So let's say the rider, you know, you replace the jockey, you know, after the entries are finalized, and that new jockey goes out and wins $20,000, they're going to have to pay $20,000 to the replaced jockey as well.
Well, no kidding. And that's much more dramatic when you find out how much they, before the rule change, that same jockey who was pulled from his mount, who won the race, before the rule change, would have gotten about $100.
Right. Yeah, they just got the, there's like a minimum that jockeys get for racing every, for racing a race. And that's, the, you're right, Jennifer, that's exactly right. So now they're going to, I'm just actually working, Jamie, on getting your ad replaced here.
Oh,
so that
no,
we can
that's fine.
Yes.
So, Jamie, jockeys, I have a question for you. Inquiring minds need to know. When you were exercising racehorses in your college years here in Kentucky, because you did it during college, right?
Correct.
At that time, about how much did an aspiring young exercise rider get paid to climbing to climb aboard a armed and dangerous young thoroughbred and exercise them in the morning?
Well, let me tell you something, Jen. As a college student, you kind of forget that you can actually get hurt. And you tend to just think, oh, my God, this is a lot of money. I mean, it was so much money, Jennifer. I was making so much money. I was making, like, $10 a ride.
That what I remember,
and,
too.
And the thing is that there's a lot of people that rode actual trained horses. Well, I wasn't strong enough to ride horses that have raced because they get on that track, and it's just almost impossible to hold them back. I mean, it's just so hard. So I rode the special horses. I rode the baby. So you put me on a year and a half to 2 year old thoroughbred who, mind you, is barely broke. So you actually have to get on the horse with a stick, short stirrups, and an exercise saddle, which is like a little postage stamp. And then you have to walk the horse to the racetrack when everything spooks them, everything scares them. They are just crazy. They'll just, while walking down the road, just start bucking, whatever. And then you get them on a racetrack. And if you've seen the movie Seabiscuit, you've seen how Seabiscuit galloped from, like, rail to rail, where he never actually went straight.
No.
He went left. And then right, and then left, and then that's pretty much what it's like exercising a baby, except for the fact that about halfway through that, they'll just start bucking. But, man, it was good money.
I was going to say, there was probably no adrenaline rush like that, though. That's probably a pretty good adrenaline rush.
Well,
all right,
you can
let me attempt,
seeing
you failed miserably, let me attempt the ad, and then we'll go to Steve Maxwell with our collegiate report. Pfizer Animal Health recommends all horse owners ensure their horse is properly vaccinated. Pfizer Animal Health equine vaccines are backed by an equine immunization support guarantee. Pfizer Animal Health will support reasonable diagnostic and treatment costs up to $5,000 if a horse properly vaccinated by a veterinarian with one of its antigens contracts the corresponding equine disease. And those are diseases like EEE, WEE, VEE, any of those EEEs that they vaccinate for. Talk to your veterinarian today about Pfizer Animal Health Equine Immunization Support Guarantee. And that is a pretty good guarantee. So basically, they're going to cover those treatment costs up to $5,000 if you've properly vaccinated and they still come down with one of those diseases. You can find out more about that at PfizerAnimalHealth.com.
Mm-hmm. So there was a sentence missing.
There was a sentence missing. That was my fault. I apologize to you and Pfizer, but now we are correct.
Well, you know, you told me before the show, you were like, we got a new ad. Go ahead and read through it. And that just goes to show you I completely ignored you telling me to read through it. I just wasn't
Let's
listening.
Let's get to our
All right.
first guest and talk to Steve Maxwell of CampusEquestrian.com. with our monthly update on what's going on in the collegiate world. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Fine. So what's new over there in the collegiate world? We follow all the news that comes out about anything horsey, and boy, there's been a ton of articles. It seems like the collegiate equestrian programs are getting a lot more press because I'm just seeing a ton of articles about who won and who's this and who's that, more than I've ever seen before.
In fact, this weekend somebody threw a copy of a magazine, The Plaid Horse, at me to show the recent collegiate issue that they had done. And they'd done a very good job at talking about quite a few programs. I'll tell you what, so far, the season now has begun in most places within both the IHSA and also in the varsity world. There are a handful, actually about 10 of the 36 IHSA regions, 10 of them have yet to start. Quite a few of the ones that haven't started will start up this coming weekend. So far in the IHSA world, the Intercollegiate Horse Show Association, most of the teams that had done well last year got off on the right foot again this year. Centenary College, the defending national champions, they were a 45-26 winner over, well, actually over a bunch of people, but William Patterson University, they were number two to Centenary with 26. Centenary won with 45 of a possible 49 in their opener back on October 2nd. So Centenary looks like they picked up from where they left off last year. Very good team. Now, there was an interesting show this weekend in New England that I happened to be at. Mount Holyoke College, which has won their region all but once since 1997, they were technically the winner on opening day at Smith College, but they played to a tie. They don't break the ties in these situations other than a coin toss to determine who gets a blue ribbon and who gets a like a trophy. But Mount Holyoke College...
Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like elementary school.
Oh, I can't help that. They both both.
Couldn't we have a runoff? Couldn't we just have a runoff? Have them all line up and do like a 100-yard dash?
Sometimes they have a horseless horse show for one class. They'll have somebody carry somebody around for a while, and then whoever falls off. I've even seen ribbon ties broken with Limbo Rock, where people have to keep going under a lunge line. They keep lowering the lunge line until somebody finally lands on their back. But Mount Holyoke was a 41-all tie winner with the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. That's pretty important because UMass, their coaching debut for their new coach, Merrick Keith Hunter, who's also a UMass graduate. So they played to a 41-all tie for High Point. The other places, there was a surprise. Brown University has won their region 5 years in a row, but the Brown Bears were actually behind five different teams on opening day. University of Rhode Island was a High Point team in their region with a 32-28 win over Becker College. That was unexpected, I think, in general. I don't have the information yet on what the defending Western National Champion IHSA Berry College team did in the opener in their region. They had traveled to North Georgia College and State University. Do not have a result from that yet, but that'll be something I'll be trying to get onto my homepage by Thursday. We're going to switch over to varsity because there's so much to go through. Give you some varsity information. We talked about predictions a month ago. Do you recall doing that?
Yes, and I'm sure that Jamie is anxiously awaiting to hear what the Georgia Bulldogs have done or not done yet.
Bulldogs!
they're sort of in the mix, but they've only had one show. And they were actually beaten in a tiebreaker. They settled the tie with a tiebreaker where clearly one team is like, we're the winner, and the other team isn't. Actually, that's incorrect. I want to backtrack. A&M beat Georgia 13-10. The Hunter Seat Texas A&M team beat Georgia 7-5, and the Western team beat them 6-5. So it was very, very close. But Georgia's only had one show. Sorry about that. I wish I could give you good Bulldog news there, but they're only one. If you've beaten by the team that I thought was a good bet to win a national championship. I know we talked about people having graduated, but Texas A&M, they are now 3-0.
That doesn't seem fair. You know why? Doesn't seem fair because don't the Texas A&M people walk around in riding boots all the time, even the guys? Like, everybody wears boots there, so it seems like they would have a little bit of an advantage.
Well, then you just have to tell the people down in Georgia and Athens to pull their boots on and wear them more often. I can't control. I can only report you. I'm only the messenger.
I got to say, Jamie, that this is another thing that you and Alan have in common because he's a big Bulldog fan.
Alan, my new best friend.
There are actually multiple Bulldogs out there. I know that Fresno State, they're also the Bulldogs. They won their first after having lost at least one. They beat New Mexico State. But the other team that's doing really well, I want to mention, it's not surprising, really, Auburn is now 3-0. They had a tie with South Carolina that was broken. It was 10-10. They had to have an extra class, and Auburn won that. So Auburn got the win over South Carolina. Auburn is now 3-0, like Texas A&M is 3-0. So those two are off to the best starts anywhere. South Carolina's 2-1. That's a good team. Those are basically the three teams that have done the best. I mean, a lot of teams haven't had more than one show. For example, Oklahoma State's 1-0. So, again, it's going to take a while for everybody to get on the same playing field, so to speak, and have a bunch of shows under their belts so early.
Now, I have a question for you. And I know some of the schools actually do put money into scholarships and some more than others. Does that usually reflect like in basketball and football, the colleges that put the most money in, it pretty much reflects in their record? Is that true of the horse world as well, or is that kind of hit and miss?
I think it's more hit and miss. I think there are people that put a lot of money in that haven't necessarily gotten the results, and I think there are people in some cases. Let me put it this way. A lot of the people who do invest the money do well. There are cases where people some of the time have poured money into a program and hasn't necessarily done as well, at least of late in some cases. But the best way I can put this is that if you don't invest the money, the odds are you won't do all that well in the long run. You have to do something. You have to get the right people. If you can get the right people, regardless of how much money invest, you will win. If you can get those people to simply ride well, I feel that in general, I don't really want to say it's quite like it is with basketball or football. It's not quite, basically because I don't think any school treats it the same way they treat their basketball or football programs, to put it.
It doesn't quite draw the crowd bring in the ticket dollars.
If you get thousands of people to come out and go through the turnstiles, yes, there'll be a lot more money spent on equestrian, definitely.
Well, now, I have another follow-up question to that. The way these work is that the teams have their own horses, and when the visiting team comes in and they ride the local horses, they don't bring their own horse. So really you're talking about – you're taking the horse – somewhat out of the equation, you're really relying on the competency of the riders. Are there schools that some teams just go, God, I hate those horses. They have the worst horses. And then there's some schools where like, oh, man, they have great horses. I'm going to go to that school.
Yes. Simple as that, yes. There are cases in general, yes, there are plenty of places where the horses are people ooh and ah when they see them when they arrive, and they're saying, well, we wish we had these horses every week. There are parts of, I'll give you an example, in some parts of the IHSA, because you have to remember it's 36 different geographic regions, in some regions there is plenty of horse flesh. There are multiple barns that have highly, highly regarded horses. People go to those shows and they're like, this is going to be great. And there are places where there is a lack of horse flesh, and people will, in fact, trailer horses that might be from week to week. The location will change, the whole school will change, but the horse will go from show to show because there's a shortage of horses, and so-and-so coach of a team will say, let me bring my horse, and they'll say, please, please do. That horse will keep turning up at multiple shows for a couple of weeks, and people, if they like that horse, be like, oh, good, we drew so-and-so. We drew Trooper. That's great. We drew Trigger. Great. And we didn't draw Jethro. I mean, this sort of thing will happen. It varies, again, from location to location. As far as wanting to go to a school because of their horses, that is part of it. But I think, in general, the schools want people that know how to ride multiple horses. If you've ridden the same horse for the last 5 years and you're going off to college and you own that one horse that you've ridden and you're a Grand Prix rider, you've got to ride many, many, many different horses now. If you're used to just riding that one horse, you've mastered that one horse, now you're at a bit of a disadvantage to the catch riders.
Now, so are the horses mostly quarter horses at these programs, or do they have a mixture?
Again, it's a mixture. I would say that you definitely, it also depends on if it's an English or a Western show or both. With the varsity, most of those shows are combined English and Western at the same event, and they will have appropriate breeds for both disciplines, at least in most cases at least. If it is an IHSA, the IHSA by contrast, it's mostly one or the other. A very small number of shows have both English and Western in the same place, same day. In those cases, again, they will bring in horses that are suitable for hunter seat riding if it's an English show, and the host schools will generally bring in the quarter horses for the Western, as you would imagine. So, again, that's how it's done between those two.
Okay, got it. So are your prediction, you still holding with your prediction that Texas is going to whoop up on Georgia?
I don't know if it'll whoop up. I want Jamie to like me a little bit. But I say Texas A&M and Auburn, unsurprisingly, are looking like the best teams so far. I think South Carolina and Georgia, keep an eye on them. They're probably going to be top five.
You don't have to say that. You don't have to say that if you don't think that. Just go right on ahead. Don't worry about me.
I'm going to leave it at that. The IHSA, I said, sent Mary a month ago, and they so far only have one show. They continue to keep winning. They look great. I really I like them. The Western teams that really have the great histories, Findlay and Ohio State, neither of them have started their season yet for the IHSA. Actually, Ohio State, they may have, I want to backtrack, that's something I also need to follow up on with them. But those two, I want to see people get going. Again, it's very early. A month from now, there'll be a lot more to discuss, trust me.
All right, well, maybe a month from now, too, we can get somebody on from one of the, like Texas A&M or maybe even Georgia.
Centenary College or somebody from, I'll say a team that has a pretty well, Miami of Ohio. Get somebody from one of those schools in the IHSA or Virginia Intermont College. Absolutely.
Well, get somebody on from Centenary then. Centenary is a college I'd never even really heard of until last year. And now you hear about them a lot
because they've won the championship two of the last 3 years. 2 years ago, they were just as good as they were 3 years ago as they were last year. And maybe this year.
All right, well, we'll work with you next month, and maybe as part of your report, we'll have one of the kids on from Centenary.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds like
that sounds good.
Jamie,
well, thank you.
Jamie, you okay? I didn't just fawn over Georgia today. You okay with that?
Go Dogs. Go Dogs.
Okay, great. She's, once I'm off the air, I know that she'll be talking about the Dogs for a while.
You know what? You did a fantastic job. I do like that you are a fair and unbiased reporter, and I appreciate that about you. But if you mention Auburn one more time, I'm going to come see with my question.
Okay. All right. Well, I won't do it.
Thank you, Steve.
I'll have a plan on how to describe them when I come back in a month. I'll have a way to fucking code.
The limping tigers.
You know, he was really good about saying, too, maybe we should get somebody from the different league that doesn't compete with Georgia. We'll get somebody from Centenary because I'll be safe there. I noticed that right away.
Yeah, I repeat it again. I said it before. There are 8,600 riders in the IHSA. In the varsity NCAA, there are only about 18 teams times about 20 people. That's like not even 1,000 people. They're much bigger. The IHSA is 8 times as big. You got to remember that.
Okay. All right, Steve. Thank you very much. Steve, you can find his website at campusequestrian.com. Do you have a Facebook page for Campus Equestrian, too? Steve, did we lose him?
Oh, I think we lost him.
Oh,
let me go ahead and
I'll search for that.
Campus Equestrian.
All right. But it is campusequestrian.com is where you can find his website, and that is the go-to place if you're following collegiate equestrian sports at all. Everybody just goes to campusequestrian.com, and Steve is sort of the go-to guy. So did you find anything?
Nope, they don't have one. I didn't see one.
Okay. All right. just go to his website. That'll be fine. Well, we have a song today, and then we're coming back with the All-Tech Report. We're going to say who won last week's trivia question, won two tickets to the All-Tech National Horse Show coming up here in a few weeks. And then we're also going to be doing the European Report with Horse and Country TV. But right now, we have Dan Roberts with one of my favorite songs of his, Can't Change Horses.
You better look down that road before you get on. Turn around, take one last look behind. Head, pick up a little dirt, run it through your hands, then carve your favorite memories in your mind. 'Cause all you've ever dreamed of was riding the rodeo. Before you learn to hold on, you gotta learn to let go. You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Dan Roberts, and you can find his music at oldbootsmusic.com. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen over is producing. And our horse show, our Horse Radio Network show highlight for today is the Driving Radio Show, episode number 14. We recorded that yesterday, and it's out this morning. You can go listen to it now at drivingradioshow.com or horseradionetwork.com. And that show, we had Chester Weber on. Chester, if you follow driving at all, you know the name Chester Weber. He is probably the most decorated American driver out there. He also has helped Wendy out a lot in getting her start in four-hand driving. And Chester talked about what it's like to be a chef to keep for the United States team at the World Pony Championships over in Slovenia or Slovakia, whatever country that was in, here a couple weeks ago. I get those two mixed up all the time. It was very interesting to hear, you know, Chester, obviously he is one of the top drivers in the world, yet these guys still take time out to go volunteer to do things like Chef to Keep. And I think it's just neat that they, and he talks about what he gets out of it, and you know, he learns something every time he does it. So it really was interesting to hear a guy of his caliber really talking about, you know, giving back to the sport in that particular way. Plus, we also heard from Paul Martin of Martin's Auction on the upcoming carriage sale that Wendy and I are leaving for on Thursday morning. We are going to be leaving Thursday morning. We're hoping that if the internet connection is all set up and ready for us, that we are going to be coming to you live from the Carriage Auction on Friday morning here at Horses in the Morning, and we'll also be recording a driving show up from up there. I looked at the flyer, and I talked to Paul a little bit about a particular carriage that they have there, Jamie, that if I had the money and had won the lottery, I would be buying. Do you want to hear what it is?
I would love to.
It is a replica just built by this 80-year-old guy who apparently is well-known for building top-quality carriages, and it is a three-quarter replica of a chuck wagon. And he apparently researches this to the most minute detail, and he makes everything himself, and he even has all the utensils. He has all the cooking gear as it would have been back then with the cast iron pot. Everything is in this thing. It is beautiful. I can't wait to see it in person. I will get a picture on the chuck wagon for all of you guys to see. So if I had the money, I would be buying a chuck wagon this weekend, but the estimate is that it will go between $20,000 and $30,000. So I probably need to. You want to know? You'll also hear, if you check out this show, what their top. They've been doing this auctions for carriages for 40 years, and they'll talk. He talked to us about what the top selling carriages have been over that past 40 years. You will fall off your seat. So that's all on the Driving Radio Show at drivingradioshow.com.
Since you've got another woman who's going to do the show instead of me on Friday, are you going to have your other woman, Wendy, do really bad ads?
No, we're not going to be doing really bad ads on Friday. We're going to pass on Friday's really bad ads, and we'll be coming back to you next week with really bad ads. So
that'll
be coming back next week with the other woman. That's right. And you're off. You're going to be off at a horse show anyway. So, all right.
I'm going to move my horse up to novice, so I may just have my last talk with you guys on Thursday.
Yeah, I'll be excited on Monday to hear how that went. That should be. All right, let's talk to our next guest. We have Steve Elliott on from Alltech about the Alltech National Horse Show. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
I just wanted to mention, Steve, that we want to announce who last week's winner of the trivia was. And it was another Steve that won last week. His name was Steve Stapp, and he answered the question, where is Alltech's coffee grown? So, Steve, do you know the answer to that?
Well, yes, I do know the answer to that.
All right, you want to give everybody the answer?
Haiti.
That's right. Alltech's coffee is grown in Haiti. That's right. Steve Stapp, so Steve wins two tickets to the Alltech National Horse Show. So, Steve, if you're listening this morning, please send your information, your name and address and phone number over to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, and we'll get that off to Alltech to get you your ticket. Well, good morning, Steve, and it's nice to have you on. Today we're going to talk a little bit about Alltech. You know, when we did the World Equestrian Games radio show, and I discovered that it was the Alltech World Equestrian Games, I thought it was a phone company because I had no idea who Alltech was. And I've been in horses for 20 years and had no idea who Alltech was. So I thought it would be cool today to talk a little bit about who Alltech is and why you guys are doing all these sponsorships of the various horse events.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, Alltech is a natural feed additive company based in Nicholasville, Kentucky. We've been around for 31 years now. We kind of work behind the scenes. Like you said, it's not real well known in the community, but we work with many of the feed companies around the world. We have distribution and offices in over 120 countries. We're over a $500 million company. So actually, we're a top 10 animal health company that, surprisingly, we are the only company in the top 10 that is not based on medicine or antibiotics. We're actually an all-natural company. So we're quite extensive, large company. We've just kind of been behind the scenes for many years.
So you're like everybody that puts out grain, and I don't want to start saying names, but the ones like the companies that we would buy our grain from might have your additives in it?
Yeah, that's correct. We work with most major feed manufacturers and obviously horse feed manufacturers around the world. Many of those companies and their premium lines of feed would contain some ingredients that would come from Alltech.
Okay, so can you give us an idea of what one of those ingredients might be or do? You know, why are they important to be in the grain?
Yeah, like I said, our ingredients are all based on natural technology. One of the main technologies that Alltech was founded on is yeast. Yeast is an interesting organism, but yeast has been shown in horses in particular to help with digestibility of the feedstuffs. So by simply putting yeast into the horse feed, your horse is better able to digest all of the grain, all of the components of the feed, thus helping him perform better and have less digestive upset or colic type of problems.
And I know you guys, too, have a horse supplement as well.
Yeah, that's correct. Prior to our sponsorship of the Alltech World Equestrian Games last year, many people posed the question to us, similar to you, in that Alltech is a very large company kind of behind the scenes. Why are we not into the supplement industry? So we decided to come out with a supplement, an equine supplement. We called it Life Force, and we based it on all of the scientific information that we have on our ingredients. So Life Force is a combination of scientifically proven additives in horses that we've done research on all around the world. We combined all of those ingredients into one, and that's the product that we call Life Force.
Okay, cool. And, of course, we can't forget Dippin' Dots.
Yeah, that's correct.
That.
Dippin' Dots.
I'm just saying
yeah,
that because of all the products you guys make, that's one people will know and recognize.
That's
I mean,
right. Yeah.
Have you ever been to an amusement park, Jamie, and had Dippin' Dots, the little Dippin' Dot ice cream?
It's ice cream of the future, Glenn. Hello. It's like the greatest ice cream ever. They even have vending machines here in Phoenix for them. So you guys make Dippin' Dots?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Dippin' Dots was actually developed at Alltech by one of the people that worked in our production many years ago. They were experimenting around. Many of the technologies that we make, in particular like yeast and or bacteria, we freeze-dry those bacteria so that they stay viable or will be alive when the horse eats them or the animal eats them. Well, during that process, they got to playing around a little bit, and somebody wanted to know what it would be like if we put milk through that. And lo and behold, Dippin' Dots was developed. So, Dippin' Dots was a technology or a product that was developed at Alltech many, many years ago and has built its own brand identity since then.
Wow.
Told you.
No kidding.
I know that. And the reason I know that is every Alltech function we'd go to, they'd give out free Dippin' Dots. So
yeah,
that's
very popular with the kids. The kids love the Dippin' Dots. So, yes, we have coffee. We have Dippin' Dots. We have several different offshoots now, but our core business is natural technology.
The kids love the ice cream. The kids and Glenn.
There you go.
And, Steve, you missed the big one. You have the best beer in Kentucky.
Yeah, that's right. We actually have our own brewery in downtown Lexington, and we produce three different types of beer. And those beers have won awards all over the world. We have Kentucky Ale, Bourbon Barrel Ale, and a Kentucky Light, which is actually a Kolsch type of light beer. So very well known in the state of Kentucky, and now we're starting to spread out around the U.S. We also have a single malt whiskey, Pierce Lions Reserve, and we just broke ground for the distillery where we're actually going to produce the first new bourbon in the state of Kentucky, and I believe in like 75 or 80 years. So we have beer, we have single malt whiskey, and now we're going to have a bourbon in the very near future here. I actually think the launch is at the Alltech National Horse Show coming up here in less than a month.
Okay, cool. And that speaking of the Alltech National Horse Show, that is coming up here very soon. And it's November 2nd through the 6th at the Kentucky Horse Park, of course. You can get your tickets now, and you can find more information out about the horse show at nhs2011.org. Stands for National Horse Show 2011.org. And you can find out more about Alltech at alltech.com. Thank you, Steve, for being with us. We appreciate it. Our quick trivia question for this week to win two tickets is, what global equine landmark – this is so easy, Steve. A thousand people should be answering this. What global equine landmark is also a state park, campground, and world-renowned equestrian facility that has 35 different breeds living on the ground? So that's the question. Jennifer will post it on Facebook. Post your answers there, and we'll pick a winner from those answers to win two tickets to the Alltech National Horse Show. Thank you very much, Steve.
Yeah, thank you for having me today. You guys have a great day.
Right. I got to say, Steve, horses, beer, bourbon, and ice cream, that is the greatest company of all time.
Don't forget coffee to get you started in the morning after the beer and ice cream and horses in the evening. So, yeah, I agree.
Oh, and,
a great company.
And we can't forget that other drink you guys make that's Jennifer's favorite. What was that called, Jennifer?
Sundowner. Hello.
Oh.
Sundowner. Irish coffee. That's right. That's
OMG.
Part of our
portfolio. Loves Sundowner Irish coffee.
That's right.
I'll put the bourbon in my coffee and then top it off with ice cream to be like the cream in the coffee, and then it's like the perfect thing. This is the greatest company ever. My favorite thing.
There you go.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
I mean,
there you go.
Really.
Coming up.
Seriously.
No time at all. We'll be at the Alltech National Horse Show.
Awesome. Well, we have our next guest on the line, and our next guest, of course, is from horseandcountry.tv, and Victoria is going to give us our European update. First of all, hello, Victoria.
She's not there. She just disappeared.
Oh, we lost her?
We lost her. She just went away. Victoria got scared off by all the talk of alcoholic beverages and left.
She went for a drink. What is the... What time is it over there?
It's afternoon there.
Seriously.
It's afternoon time,
yeah.
So they're good. I think that's what she did. So is she going to call us back, you think, Jennifer?
Yes. She's calling back.
Okay.
She's having a computer issue. She came through electronically, but no voice. So.
Well, that's tough to do a radio show that way.
Yeah, she said she's going to call me right back, so we will cover a couple more headlines, perhaps, and...
I got a funny one for you. While we're waiting for her, Jamie, I got a funny one for you. You know how we always do the rescue shows or the rescue stories about the fire departments who are out rescuing horses? Well, here is new figures from the Oxfordshire, which is in England, firefighters, and they have rescued 135 animals in the past 3 years at an estimated cost of €16,000 to the taxpayers. Well, they gave some examples of the things that they had to go out and rescue, and this is going to blow your mind. Crews have helped to save 37 cats, 25 horses, 22 dogs, 16 cows, 10 deer, 4 sheep, and a donkey. Some 17 birds were rescued, including 10 pigeons. I'm not exactly sure where pigeons get stuck, but apparently they do. Strange but true, these are some of the strange but true things that they rescued. Are you ready? A horse released from a horse box in March of 2008. I don't know how it got stuck in the van, but it did, apparently. Crews were called to help a puppy in a swimming pool. I don't know if I'd call the fire department to help a puppy in a swimming pool, but that's just me. Get the next
wait,
one.
Yeah, seriously. How much time does a puppy have in a swimming pool? And how long does it take a fire department to get to you? I would think that you could probably just quicker jump into the pool, get the puppy, and bring it out.
With some of the fire departments, you could probably drain the pool before they'd get there. So that's another option.
Good point.
How about a duck rescued on a lake using a boat in August of 2009?
What the hell did it need?
I don't know. Maybe he couldn't swim. A kitten freed from the gap between two walls in Oxford in August of 2009. A hydraulic equipment used to rescue a puppy from a sofa. Okay. So your puppy is stuck in a sofa. Would you call the fire department?
Glenn, do you really feel like me calling the fire department for my cat being up on the roof is that big of a deal now? I mean, really?
Okay, so there's some other ones here. Dog rescued from a quarry. Well, that's kind of, you know, I can see that one. A cat rescued from a chimney using a 6-meter ladder. I love how they tell you what equipment they used to rescue them. That was in June of 2010. And you can see how a cat could get stuck in a chimney. I can picture that one. A pigeon released using a 6-meter ladder. I don't know exactly where the pigeon, and a scissors. Maybe he was caught in wire or something. Two bulldogs, or bullocks. What's a bullock? A chicken?
I don't know.
Two bullocks pulled from a swamp. A dog cut out of a banister using a handsaw. Well, you can see how that happened. The dog stuck his head between the things and the banister. But, you know, maybe the people didn't have their own handsaw to get the dog cut out. And then you're going to love this one. A cat released after getting stuck in a reclining chair.
What? A cat got stuck in a recliner?
Now, our cat goes in our recliner all the time. He climbs up there where the mechanism is. One of these days, when we put the recliner down, he's going to go, and we're going to squish him. But I can see how a cat would get in the recliner. But again, do you call the fire department? I don't think so.
Okay, I just Googled. Go ahead. Finish your last one, then I have an update for us.
Well, no, that's it. That's all of them. Vicky is back on the line, too. Victoria.
Okay, well, I just Googled fire department puppy pool rescue, and apparently the puppy got sucked down into the system, like, you know, where the filter? It got sucked
sucked into the filter? Well, that's not good. No, I can see why you're
so I'm going to post that video up on our Horses in the Morning page because I think I almost think it's just worth. I can't even hear the audio. I have it turned down, but I'm gonna guess that it is probably something that is worth watching because they have pictures and everything.
All right, why don't we go to Victoria before we lose her again?
All right, well, that sounds good. And again, I'll introduce her again. She's from horseandcountry.tv, and her name is Victoria. And good morning, Victoria. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. How are you both?
Well, you sound great, too. Calling back in worked very well. So tell us what is going on down over in Europe.
Well, we've had a very busy week since we last spoke to you, because I think last week we just arrived at Horse of the Year show, and we were setting up camp in the press room, and yesterday we finally made it home after a very busy 6 days.
Oh, no kidding. So how was it?
It was absolutely brilliant. The best sort of horses and riders in Britain, and 6 very busy but very fun days. So myself and Jenny Riddle, the Horse and Country presenter, were busy chasing after riders and trying to nail down them for interviews, and we had a great time.
Well, very cool, very fun. So what was your favorite, your highlight from the whole thing?
I think the puissance is very exciting, as it always is. That turned into a bit of a thriller. And it went to 5 rounds, and the wall got up to 7'3" high, which was just incredible.
Oh, my God.
It was big. And one of the best things about it is that a rider who had earlier in the week competed in the Working Hunter Showing Championship and had won that title. I think he made it round to the final round in the puissance. So it's nice to see a show jumper kind of turn his hand to showing as well and do very well.
That's great. So they had, you know, obviously Horse of the Year show. Tell everybody, for those Americans that don't really know what is the Horse of the Year show and why is it such a big deal?
It's a big show every year that's in an exhibition centre in Birmingham. So normally it's full of, you know, sort of displays and conferences. And for a week every October, it's turned into just the hugest equestrian venue. There's 2 arenas, hundreds of train stands and thousands of people that go. And all summer long, people try and qualify for Horse of the Year show in both showing and show jumping. So it's basically a championship show. And to even get there to compete is a huge achievement, let alone to win first prize.
Yeah, and it's not even just open to just horses. Didn't they have some sort of horse and pony show too?
Yes, there was lots of pony showing, and from We had miniature horses there. We had lead-drain ponies who are absolutely gorgeous. And they're the people who are leading the ponies, who are normally the riders and mums, get very glamorous, and they tend to be even smarter than the horses. So that's quite impressive. yes, lots of that, lots of ponies and lots of horses that are competing in the showing classes as well, so show jumping, and lots of displays as well. So we had people doing natural horsemanship displays. We had a dressage masterclass, and we had a really fun class where we saw lots of famous jockeys, past and present, came down, and they had to get on a horse for the first time, jump it around some show jumps, and then a professional show jumper got on the same horse and jumped it around a slightly bigger set of show jumps, and then finally this jockey had to get on the back of a scurry driving vehicle and race around the course. So just things like that just make it a brilliant show for the audience as well as the competitors.
how fun. Now, you say they're older jockeys, like not in their 70s. I mean, like, how old?
No. I think possibly the oldest was in his 40s, but I had been retired for a little while, but it was great to see them back in action.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of jockeys, I really thought this was cool. The highlight of the former racehorse over there, the ex-racehorse, and there was a championship for them, right?
Yes, I mean, racehorse to riding horse showing has really taken off in the last 5 years or so, and so many horses come off the track and they qualify for these prestigious championships. There's several different series over in Britain, and this is probably the pinnacle of them all, which is the SCIB Racehorse to Riding Horse Show Championship. And the horses were just absolutely stunning. And the one that won had actually competed as a hack earlier in the week and then went through and did the racehorse class. And it's just brilliant to watch because you can see how versatile racehorses are and how well they can adapt to a second career. But you can always guarantee that the lap of honour gets a little bit exciting because they all think that they're back in the 3:15 and not doing a showing class. So that's always quite fun to watch.
They must have a good competitive spirit about them, that's for sure.
Definitely.
Now, aside from that, I know you said you've been in a little bit of a bubble because you've been at that horse show for so long, but it is the end of the eventing season over in Europe, and there are two people that are battling it out for the, I mean, is it like Eventer of the Year? I mean, what are William Fox Pitt and Mary King fighting over right now?
It's the HSBC FEI Classic Series, and it basically covers the four-star events of the year, and you get points for your best placing at each event. So, for example, Mary King won Kentucky, and she also came second as well, but she only gets the points from her win. And so her and William have remained neck and neck, and it's coming up to the final event, which is Po in France. And basically, if Mary King finishes in the top eight, she's won. But if William can win the event outright, then I think he might go ahead of Mary. So it's going to be a bit of a nail-biting finish. Mary's got two really good horses there, and William, I think, has three entered. So I think they're both going head-to-head and are determined to win it.
Oh, oh my God, I got to talk to you about this. You guys, horseandcountry.tv has a Facebook page.
We do.
You sent me a link to the most bizarre thing I have ever seen in my entire life. Now, clearly you're going to know what I'm talking about, so you have got to explain to everybody what I'm talking about.
Well, we were sent a video earlier this week, and I think it's been out for a little while on YouTube, but this was the first that Horse and Country saw of it. And it was a link to a video of a camel doing dressage. And we thought, oh, that's sweet. It's just riding around, you know, pretending to do dressage. But no, it does flying changes. And not only does it do flying changes, it does one-time tempi changes across the diagonal. And people on our Facebook page absolutely loved this video. We had over 100 likes, and everybody was commenting mostly along the lines, if that camel can do dressage, my horse can do dressage. So it was great to watch, and I think people should definitely visit our Facebook page, which is facebook.com Horse and Country, and have a look at this video, because it is a sight to behold.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God, it's doing Tempe changes. That's ridiculous.
It is.
It's crazy because at first you're watching this camel start to do a dressage test, but it's doing like a pas de deux. So there's another horse out there. It's actually not a camel. It's another horse, and it's doing a pas de deux with the horse. And the camel is currently, as I'm watching it at about minute six, doing figure eights and flying changes across the arena. And the horse, I don't even know what the horse is doing because the video is not even on the horse. Really cares about the horse. But it's almost like it's a gated camel. And it looks like it's like moving like a walking horse. And then it begins to canter.
Yes.
and then it's just flying changes.
You know what's so funny about this? I mean, it is incredible what the camel's doing, but have you looked at his face? You see his lips?
The lips.
It flaps every time he moves.
I think lots of our Facebook fans were commenting about the camel's lip and the expression it pulled. So, yeah, definitely worth watching.
His lip, he's going up. That's cracked me up.
You know, I'm no dressage judge or dressage queen or anything, but I do believe he's a little bit hollow in the neck.
Yes.
not quite reaching over the bridle.
Certainly in front of the vertical.
Oh, well, everybody, please. You've truly seen everything at this point. If you can see a camel doing one Tempe changes, please go check it out. Horsey, we're going to post it on our Facebook page and give you guys credit for it. And please go follow horseandcountry.tv on their Facebook page. Just search for Horse and Country TV. And, oh, my God, that is just too funny. So what is coming up for you before we let you go?
Well, I'm off after all this showing and show jumping. I'm off to going racing again for the last time to go flat racing this season. And I'm going to the first ever British Champions Day at Ascot. And I'm hugely excited because my favourite horse in training is going to be racing this Saturday. He's called Frankel and he has just been a megastar. He's, you know, taking flat racing by storm, and he's never been beaten an 8 start, so every time he races there's a huge great deal of interest in watching him and seeing if he can keep up that record.
Okay, Frankel Ascot, we are going to follow that. What day is his race?
He's on Saturday.
Well, I'll look for it, but you make sure you give us a full report when you get back.
I will do.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Victoria. Horseandcountry.tv. Go check it out. Lots of cool videos on there, and also random weird camel dressage videos, piglets. You know, you never know what you're going to find on Horse and Country TV. So please check it out. And Victoria, we'll talk to you next week.
Great to talk to you. Thank you. See you next week.
Okay. Bye.
He's doing unbelievable half passes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is a crazy
thing.
But
I got to tell you, after this 8-minute dressage test, his lips have got to hurt. I mean, they are just bobbing. His lips are flapping with each step he takes. It's just bizarre.
Do you remember that commercial with the bull doing dressage? It's like the Schweppes ginger ale commercial or something,
yeah.
And this horse comes in doing the passage, and then the bull comes in doing it's like that, but it's real. It's like that, but it's completely real. It's a real camel. It's not a joke.
This is incredible. That's a nice steady trot.
It's crazy. It's just.
I know. And once it starts, here we're doing a radio show. This is great radio because we're both transfixed about this video. And I'm sure Jennifer's watching it too. Oh, now we're going to take a bow. We're going to take a bow at the end. Oh, that's a bow pretty good too.
I know. It's amazing. So do we have that link posted on our Facebook page so people can at least find out what the hell we're talking about?
Yeah.
And I put up the pool puppy rescue, and it turns out when I was watching it, it actually didn't get sucked into the thing. It dug underneath the pool and got stuck with all the stuff under there. So bad dog.
I also wanted to mention that my mother-in-law, Pat, posted that she went with us to the carriage auction to Martin several years ago, and it was a very big highlight for her because she got to see Robert Wagner was there buying carriages, and she actually went up and said hi to him, and he was very gracious. He put his arm around her, and and signed the autograph for her. And as she says here, and I probably should have fainted, and I think she did later. I don't think she did at the time. But she was very excited about that. And then you started something, because she says in the last sentence, Glenn, are you and your new woman going to keep your eye out for Mr. Wagner? See what you started?
I didn't say it was your. It's kind of more like the other woman to Jennifer and I. Because, I mean, you know, here I am. I spend every day sitting here doing a show with you, and now all of a sudden you're going to a carriage auction, and you have kicked me off of my show, and you are letting her do the show, my show. Mm-hmm. I see how that works, Glenn. It's cool. Whatever.
Good to be the boss. And you get a day off, so you're not complaining. So anyway, we have to wrap it up for today. What a fun show. We learned a lot, and we had some fun along the way, too. We'll be back again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for another great show, so you'll want to tune in then. And I think, keep your fingers crossed, Jamie, that I believe she's agreed. I've talked to her a little bit on Facebook last night that we're going to have, remember the girl who came in second, the 19-year-old who riding the 17-year-old Arab who came in second? For Tevis Cup. Well, she has agreed to come on tomorrow morning. We're just working out the details, so hopefully we'll have her on tomorrow.
Awesome. That'd be fantastic. I can't wait, and I can't wait to see the comments that we get from this camel doing dressage. So it's going to be an exciting day no matter what.
Yes, sir. All right, everybody, that's it for today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Don't forget to check out all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. And another thing I noticed, too, I wanted to remind everybody, is you can listen on iTunes. All the shows now, iTunes has overtaken, and this has just happened in the last month, iTunes has overtaken the website for where people listen the most. So people are starting to figure out iTunes and how to get podcasts, and they're listening on their iPhones or their MP3 players or their iPods. And now iTunes is the number one spot where people are listening. And, of course, you just go to iTunes and search for any one of the shows, or you can just search for Horse Radio Network, and there's one feed on iTunes that has all the shows on it. You just have to subscribe to one, and you'll get all the shows, and all of that is free.
That's fantastic. All right, everybody, please have a great day. Wear your helmets, spay, neuter, and geld.
Bye, everybody. See you, feelers.